Shotgun Storyworthy is back this Friday night, April 18th at Io West in Hollywood. The show starts at 7 o'clock on the main stage, and it is free.
It's an all play, so come on down and spin that wheel.
That's right, folks. Everybody gets to play. And you know, Hannes, it's happy hour, too.
And admission is free. So
what?
You can spend all your money on drinks and then come up and make a fool of yourself. It'll be great.
It's a win-win situation. We'll see you guys Friday, April 18th at 7 o'clock at Io West.
Hey, folks, this is Hannes Finney from the Storyworthy Podcast, and we want to thank you for your support. We want to thank you for listening. And you know what? The only way for us to grow is for you to tell your friends, tell your family, tell people you don't even like. We need you to get the word out there about Storyworthy. And we thank you.
We thank you.
We thank you.
This episode of Storyworthy is brought to you by GoDaddy. Don't let someone steal your great idea. Register a domain name now and put your idea online. GoDaddy's offering one new or transfer.com for the low price of $2.95. So whether you're building your dream business or starting a website for fun, visit GoDaddy.com and enter the code STORY295 at checkout. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Don't forget, you guys, visit GoDaddy.com and enter the code STORY295 at checkout, and you are supporting this podcast.
Hey, it's Penelope Lombard. I'm here with Christine and Hannes. I'm keeping things on the DL at Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney. We are at the State Capitol Building in Tallahassee, Florida.
Woo!
Why? Because of a recent law that they passed that produced this headline: "The problem with Florida's python hunt is snake assassination." And that headline to me encompasses all that is great slash horrible about the state of Florida.
Well, okay, our guest tonight is Penelope Lombard, comedian Penelope Lombard.
Yes.
And she brings forth the topic, trouble in Florida.
Yeah, so you know,
and it's like if you go to Google and you even type in something like, why is Florida, before you type on any other letter, it'll come up. So crazy.
Yeah.
So hot. So weird.
Right.
So
yeah. Trouble in Florida is like a redundancy to me.
Yeah,
I assume that if you're in Florida, you're in trouble.
It's the end of the joke is what it is.
Yeah. It's just I don't know. I wonder if we have listeners in Florida. Let us know. Let us know at info at Storyworthy. It's like, is it really as crazy as we think it is? Or is it just like people used to think, they're like, oh, California is insane. You're not spending your whole time in California dodging mudslides and stuff. But Florida seems to be completely insane at all times.
Florida is a state of extremes is what it is, Hannes. It has the most bugs. It has the highest identity theft rate in the nation. It has the flattest roads and the worst elderly drivers.
The flattest roads.
And it had all the elderly drivers, which is seriously a problem. I mean, because that's one of the biggest problems on the road is the way people drive.
Right, and people will not stop driving.
Well, they won't because it gives up their independency and their freedom.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember, you know, my father, as you know, recently passed away. And when he stopped driving this past fall, a note in my head went off that said, trouble ahead. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like if my dad's not driving anymore, we got less than 6 months to live here, folks. I mean, there's no way.
Yeah.
Driving, you don't give it up.
Yeah, exactly. No, and I know I'm complaining now, but I'm sure when I'm 90, I'll be like, first of all, I'll probably be driving the same car I am now, but it'll
Volvo,
be worth $1 million by then.
That thing
fucking Volvo,
is a beast.
Yeah, the Volvo is a big square block of just steel and Swedish know-how.
Pensacola and Jacksonville, Florida rank in the top 10 nationally. Nationally, places for most toxic drinking water.
Which apparently you had some before you said that sentence.
No, but yes. So two cities in the same state have extremely toxic drinking water.
Yeah, it's like they've got that old, like, you know, sort of independent thing. Like, we don't need no government regulation.
Well, the native Floridians are often, they'll take off their hat if they hear a Lynyrd Skynyrd song.
but if they see Barack Obama, they'll put on their hat and put up their finger.
All right, so Florida, that's the topic, the trouble in Florida. You know, you can go online, like I said, and just type in anything about Florida, and these wacky stories are going to come out.
Yeah, and so, now they've got this whole, you know, the defend your stand your ground rule, a law where people can just shoot you for just irritating them, basically.
Well,
which sounds like something I would like. But it turns out not so good in practice.
Well, here's what's something funny about that. Florida's justice system cannot shake its inescapable racist reputation. Now, this is something I looked up, obviously.
Yes.
It's not just that the Trayvon Martin prosecution team could not convict George Zimmerman. The same prosecutor sent a black woman, a young mother, to jail for 20 years for firing a warning shot after her husband, a known domestic abuser, threatened her.
Right.
And she goes to jail for 20 years.
Yeah.
George Zimmerman is playing with guns around his girlfriend, or with his girlfriend.
But not only that, he's signing it now. Last week, 2 weeks ago, he was signing autographs at a gun show. I'm not kidding. See, everything about Florida seems like awesome. A bad. Like, what is that guy? Carl Hyacin? Hyles? He's a detective story writer, and all his things are set in Florida, and everyone in them is completely insane.
Yeah.
And it all sounds absurd when you read it, and then you realize. Nope. This is just headlines.
They also seem to have a lot of problems with pizza down in Florida. Not just.
Well, sure. First of all, the pizza's probably terrible.
Not just delivery, but also, like, here's a headline: a Florida man was upset that his wife didn't thaw the frozen pizza and shoved her face into a dog bowl.
See, now that's not what I would call a pizza problem. That's a communication problem in my book.
In another bad pizza story, a man punched the delivery boy after he forgot the garlic knots.
Well, okay. Look, even I've got to draw the line somewhere.
Maybe people were just reporting too many incidents. Do you know what I mean?
No, this is kind of like the shark attack thing, where it's like, so there was some weird pizza involved thing, so all of a sudden they said, pizza, that'll be our hook on all the crazy stories that we have coming out of Florida.
A Florida man whose hand was bitten off by a 9-foot alligator now faces charges for feeding the animal. Here's one. A Florida man shot himself in the penis and testicles while claiming to be cleaning his gun. So I think there's a lot of just mistakes, just accidents.
I like the claiming part. Like, do we think he deliberately shot himself with the penis and testicles? Is that
here's
that
a Florida
our problem
man,
with it?
A Florida man who's dead after competing in a bug eating contest at a reptile store.
See, that's just thinning the herd.
I guess. I mean, I used to, when I was a flight attendant, I flew to Florida all the time, and probably like 16 cities in Florida. I flew in every one of those cities. One time, here's something that was sort of humorous. I was shooting a television show ready for the weekend movie in Jacksonville, Florida. It was the weekend of the Super Bowl. And we were supposed to, you know, we're going down to Jacksonville, but it's not the Super Bowl yet. This is weeks prior,
but we're
trying to pretend it's the Super Bowl because that when it's going to air that week of the Super Bowl. And, you know, we did these walk and talks. We used to do like 12 or 13 segments trying to find beautiful places to shoot in, etc. When we got back, the producer, our director, got in trouble because the producer was mad that we didn't get enough beauty shots. There weren't enough beautiful shots in Jacksonville. Okay, fast forward. Now it's Super Bowl weekend. You might have been with me, Hannes. We're watching the Super Bowl, and as they cut away from one of the shots of, you know, the stadium in Jacksonville, they fade away to a drainage ditch.
Yeah.
That's the goddamn
right.
beauty
There
shot.
Is no beautiful shot of Jacksonville. Like, what the fuck are you talking
There's
about?
There's a Hooters, and that's where I think where Hooters began in Jacksonville. And there's that.
I still can't believe
landmark.
They have a friggin' NFL team. I cannot believe they have an NFL team.
Now, the Miami Dolphins, those are some huge fans. I don't know if you know the...
Oh, sure. You love Miami. But Miami, you know, that's another whole thing. It's like there's Florida North and Florida South. And Florida South is junior New York.
Yeah.
And Florida North is Alabama.
Mm.
And the two do not get, you know, they do not see eye to eye at
but
all.
But I'll tell you something. The Gulf Coast is some of the most beautiful beaches I've ever seen in my life. I mean, there's a place called Seaside, Florida, where they shot the Truman Show. Remember the Jim Carrey movie, The Truman Show? There is a town. That is the town where they have all those perfect buildings that looks like, you know, kind of a cookie cutter, perfect gingerbread beach town.
Yeah, sounds horrifying to me.
No, it's actually like... stunningly beautiful, and there is extremely blue water in South Florida.
I don't care about this.
What about Sanibel Island, where you can like walk through a half a foot of sand dollars?
I don't. None of this to me sounds appealing at all.
There is there are seashells to be found in Florida that are just phenomenal.
I like how you think if you keep upping what it is, what disgusting dead sea creature I'm walking through, that'll make it more appealing.
Listen,
to me.
I'm just trying
I'm
to say
I'm not a fan of water and blueness. I'm sure that there. Well, this is the thing. I'm sure that it is possible to live in Florida and never get shot at, or never shoot anybody, or never have anything weird happen to you. But it doesn't seem like it.
Right. Here's a man who chopped off his victim's head, removed part of the brain and an eyeball, put the brain and the eyeball in a plastic bag, walked 12 blocks to the cemetery, and then ate them. You see, you can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't. I like that he was like, I'm going to let it ferment a little. You know, you don't want to eat an eyeball right away. You want to let it marinate.
Well, look, you guys, tonight, our storyteller, Penelope Lombard, how many times has she been on the show, Hannes?
8 million times.
And she always brings it. That's the thing, Hannes. She brings it. She has talked about Burning Man. She has talked about one of her topics, got some of the highest rating shows Storyworthy has ever seen. And that topic was, I hate babies.
Sure.
I mean, how, are we possibly
because
surprised that now she's
a,
talking about
that
Florida?
That is something that, yeah, exactly. I hate baby Floridians. It should have been the name of our, I hate babies that have more cocaine than me. That should have been the name of this topic.
Listen, really she is a fantastic writer and comedian and storyteller, so we're super happy she is here. But before we get to the storyteller, Hannes, what should the folks do if they would like to support Storyworthy?
Well, number one, you go to storyworthypodcast.com. Now, you can do two things there. You can click on the Amazon link, which takes you to Amazon. You can shop normally and we get a taste. Or you could give us some money directly. Which
yeah,
is
you can always
nice
donate.
Thing.
But here's what I really think is, that if people, here's what you could do, folks, if you really want to help us out here. You tell a friend or a family member or a coworker, and then it's just like that shampoo commercial in the 70s.
Yes.
Because then they tell two friends.
And they tell two friends and so on.
And then we dominate the world.
Exactly. Because
fuck the moth. Fuck This American Life.
Yeah, yeah. Who the hell is this? What,
Storyworthy.
NPR? Screw these. Hey, we, you know, we've already driven off the air that show Story, the story with a guy who was NPR. He was on for 10 years and he quit. You know why he quit?
He's out.
Because we fucking rammed his ass.
That's right.
That's right.
We're Storyworthy and we say the F word.
Yeah, mother.
Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, stay tuned because Penelope Lombard is on her way here. Folks, guess what? Storyworthy is now dropping twice a week.
Twice? What, does this mean more work?
It's a little bit. It's double the work is what it is, actually. But two brand new true stories coming at you every week from the Storyworthy podcast.
I guess that is good because that's twice as much me.
Twice as much me.
I'm sorry, my earphones are cutting out. What did you say? So tell your friends, tell your families, tell your enemies, tell everybody. Twice a week. Twice.
Next time on Storyworthy, we have writer Matt Oswalt.
And I'll be talking about the time I was an NBC page.
That's next week on Storyworthy.
Hey, this is Joe Bartnick from Puck Off, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
And we're back. We've actually left the state capitol. We're going across the street to a t-shirt stand where I'm going to buy a big t-shirt that says, Florida, where America comes to die.
I've heard that. I've also heard God's waiting room.
Yes, yes, there's that. But I don't think anyone in Florida, they're all going to hell.
There's
so.
A lot of extremes going on. Like I said before, there's a lot of elderly people, but then you've got all the young kids going to Disney. So it's either they're very
young.
It's kind
of like a giant small town. It's like there's kids who want out, and then there's old people who are like, why don't you just shut up?
Well, listen, if you're an elderly person, what a great place to, I mean, to be amongst your peers and to have all the facilities right there and available. I think it'd be a great place to retire.
I don't know. I'm going to retire back to Wisconsin or something. I'll show them.
All right, you guys, she's here right now, Penelope Lombard. She is a comedian and a writer, like I said. You know, Hannah, she's written jokes for Joan Rivers.
Speaking of old people.
On her weekly series, Fashion Police. And then she also wrote for the Soup spinoff, The Dish. And she's also voiced characters for King of the Hill. I do love her voice. All right, you guys, you can find her at PenelopeLombard.com. Wherever you are, please put your hands together for Penelope Lombard.
Thank you. Well, yeah, I'm going to read about some stuff that happened while I was in Florida for a long time. All right, here we go. And it starts with wildlife. Lady sea turtles lay their nests around the time they turn 30 years old, and they always return to the same place they were born. Now, I like that they wait until they're 30 and don't rush into the wrong relationship with the wrong man turtle. But the part where they return to their home is tough. Sea turtles need total darkness to lay their eggs, which I can totally understand because I need a remote location and total silence even to pee. But a lot has changed for female sea turtles recently. If you think about it, their grandmothers laid eggs on a very different Miami beach, one without a hotel or a beach Zumba class or a cheesy beach bar called Caliente. This is part of the reason sea turtles are endangered, which is why at 7 a.m. I was walking the beach searching for sea turtle nests to protect. It wasn't Miami, it was Gasparilla Island, a small island whose beach is peppered with the fourth mansions of the top 0.01%. My parents weren't anywhere near this group, economically or politically, but they had a small house, their only house, elsewhere on the island. I had fallen all apart in Los Angeles and moved in with them on this remote, underpopulated island. It's hard to put a positive spin on giving up and moving in with your parents when you're in your 40s, but if you can, please email me later. Now summer, and after many visits to the ER, my heart was being monitored because it kept stopping. It was broken, which is basically what I'd been saying over and over for most of my life, but I had meant emotionally because people are dicks and I'm possibly too sensitive. The few women on the island during the summer took sea turtles very seriously. They went to church together, and like all good Christians, they were power hungry. So who got to be in charge of turtle patrol was something they'd fight to the death over. Grace Harvey was in charge, and her competition, a very nice woman named Kathy, was now shunned and ridiculed. Kathy knew a lot about turtles, and she wanted to help, and they really hated that. One time, she had dared to remind Grace to put out the markers for the nests. Grace had indeed let Turtle Patrol down. Now, I think it was because she broke her hip. A lot of people in Florida break their hip. What Grace lost in her physical vitality, she made up for in her lust for power over turtles and the people who volunteered to help them. Kathy was less about the power and more about the turtles, and I could see how that hadn't served her. I was less about the turtles and more about muttering how nuts these women were and how if I didn't see a turtle soon, I was going to snap an egret's neck. I strolled the beach with my friend Mel. She was the only person my age on the island, so we were friends. Turtle patrol was the only activity on the island, so there I was. Grace was part of a group of old ladies about 80 to 95 years old, unless they were lying about their age and they were really in their hundreds, but I don't think you even do that at that age. A few of the group were well enough to slowly walk the beach searching for turtle nests. And by the way, that's how boring this was. Most of the time, we were just hoping to find a mound of sand that might be a turtle nest. So to be clear, identifying what might constitute a small pile of sand was the most exciting thing that could happen. That was a good day. And finding a pile of sand didn't even happen every day. I noticed that although many of the ladies had ailments that came with age, all of the ladies were well enough to gossip about Kathy and the uppity, rude ways she had dared to talk about turtle duties. My friend Mel noticed it too, but it didn't bother her as much. In fact, it was the opposite. She loved the ladies. She desperately wanted them to like her. I tried my best to shit all over her dream of being accepted by these crab apples by arguing that gaining the approval of assholes made you an asshole, but she was not open to my feedback. In fact, I could tell that Mel was stunned and offended at how dark my thoughts were, but I also knew she would forgive me because I had a heart problem. So inwardly, I had a talk with myself. I made a secret vow. I would not say negative, hateful things to the only friend I had. On Sunday nights on Gasparilla, there was nothing to do. There was also nothing to do on Monday through Saturday nights. Well, there was one thing on Sundays. The same old ladies had a cocktail party called Vespers. That's amusing that it was called Vespers, because Vespers is a thing that nuns do. That was the funniest joke that I heard all summer. Mel always went to Vespers, and because of it, she considered herself a lucky duck. She excitedly told me how she had scored an invite because her neighbor, Pat, was part of the group. To Mel, it was an exclusive event, which she was greatly honored to be included in. My mouth gaped open, but I said nothing because of my vow to not be a demon from hell. Pat also got me an invite to Vespers, and Mel couldn't believe my good fortune. I was in my 40s, jobless, single, had a heart problem, lived with my parents on an island inhabited by elderly, politically conservative Catholic women, and my only activity was pounding stakes around piles of sand that might possibly turn out to be turtle nests unless they didn't. Good fortune was not what came to my mind, but again, I thought of my vow. I knew in my weakened and unstable heart that the vow included not punching Mel in the throat. So instead, I accepted the invite to Vespers. For Vespers, everyone brought food to share because rich old ladies couldn't possibly supply the food at their own stupid parties. Mel confessed to me that previously her appetizers hadn't gotten over well. I thought that was great because then you'd just take it home and eat it yourself. What could I bring that was spicy and full of lactose? What food can you not eat if you take Lipitor, I wondered. I tried to help Mel by pointing out that hummus, sashimi, or any kind of kebab might be considered a food that other kinds of people eat, like poor people or terrorists. Mel nodded like she understood, then went to look up a recipe for mini knishes, and I felt kind of sorry for her. Regardless, my crackers and meat plate was a success. And I was a hit at Vespers. The ladies were all very nice, and they loved me. Which makes sense. I'm quite delightful. I brought crackers and meat. I have blonde hair and blue eyes. Mel, on the other hand, didn't receive enough love from her mother, brought knishes, and is half Jewish. But Mel deeply desired their approval. And she drank a lot of wine, so I'm pretty sure that won them over in the end. Plus, by the end of the summer, she was attending their Catholic church. I mean, she really wanted these ladies to like her. After that evening, I never went back to Vespers. My heart continued to fail, and I ended up having to get a pacemaker to keep it going. Very few of the sea turtles that hatch each year even make it to the ocean. Of the ones that do, very few of those live, and very few return to lay their eggs and keep life going. I sometimes wonder why the same stuff in this story that gave Mel hope and determination made my heart give up.
You are such a good writer, Penelope.
Oh, thank you.
Listen, this is what I'm taking away from your whole experience in Florida, is that you are such a great writer.
Oh, my goodness. That's so nice.
I mean, I felt like I was there in terms of the slow pace of life.
Yeah. And, you know, these ladies were very nice. I just was like, I can't get into this.
And they're educated women. Or have they had careers?
I don't know if they had college when they went. No, yes, they are.
These older women that are in their 70s, 80s, 90s.
Yeah, and some of them are kind of interesting. I remember talking to one, of course, comparing it with a time like now when it's hard to get a job. This one woman, Pat, kind of fell into a really big job because the men at the time were off to war.
Oh, my gosh. You know? Yeah.
And she was like, so they asked me to run the company. Like, that one of those kind of stories.
What was Mel's career? Why was Mel there on that island?
Mel.
Trojans. She made Trojans.
No, Mel. No, she was your age. She's our age.
Yeah. She's really interesting. And she planned for during the year to be traveling in South America. She's probably looking for more turtles.
Wait, no. She said she was going to South America, but she just went to Florida?
Well, her parents have a place there, and so she went to stay there for a few months before she
embarks on her big trip.
Yeah, went on this journey.
Because everybody who's on Gasparilla Island, obviously under the age of, say, 70 or 80, has to have a story. Why are they there?
Right. Yeah, you're in a sitcom on TV land, basically. That's exactly what. It was funny, you were talking about the sort of, you know, juvenile bitching between them. I used to go visit my old landlady in Culver City. I mean, back across the country in Culver City. And, you know, she's literally like 91 years old. And I'd be like, oh, we're going to have lunch, which is like, oh, this is fabulous. It was really high-end place. It's like she's like, oh, I usually... And she was from Wales, so she had a very elegant accent, and which I'm not doing correctly. She was like, oh, I used to sit over there with Betty, but she's such a bitch. And I'm like, you're 90. It never changes. You never change. It's just like the eighth grade.
Yeah, it's just a different social. The social structure doesn't change. Just the ages change.
Right. Yeah, and everybody's acting exactly the same. It's like, oh, it's unbelievable.
And so tell us a little bit more about, I mean, I really want to get into the heart stuff, but just a little bit more about the Turtle Patrol. Did they save lives?
Near to the end of this, so this was earlier in the summer, and it was a lot of walking the beach to find possible nests, and then you have to mark them. And then later in the year, because I was there a long time, they start to hatch. And if they hatch... They're supposed to hatch at night, so the turtles are kind of guided to the water by the reflection.
Yeah, I've seen
there
remember
be no lights on the beach, which is really relevant to what's going on today with the buildup in Florida. Think about it: the beaches with hotels and all—are they going to turn off all their lights?
No, they're
so
not.
So that you know,
but I seem to remember some National Geographic special with these
big
turtles
issue.
Coming out, or maybe with 60 Minutes, and them all going into the water.
Yeah, there's a good movie. I forget what it's called, but something with turtle in the title.
Is it called Call to the Turtle?
It's not Ninja Ones, but
Turtle Gangbang? No. Yeah. Okay.
Is it called Turtle Patrol?
It's called Turtle, the boring version.
No, it's fascinating, but it's obviously, how did you get involved with that group?
Oh, just because it's a thing to do on the island, and they need people to walk the beach.
Right.
And
you probably needed
every
the water.
But they don't need
and
a
Mel,
new president
actually,
because they have that.
Right, and because Mel was involved in everything. You know?
Right.
She has like spirit and excitement for everything.
God, I hate that.
And also, at the time, my heart was being monitored, so I could walk, but I couldn't do many other
things. You leave Los Angeles, and you say you broke down. What do you mean?
I didn't feel well.
But you had been living in L.A. for how long?
Like 20 years.
20 years?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you
leave.
Well,
I don't know if it was sudden, but over the year before I left, at least over that year, but probably even longer, but gradually, I didn't have the same energy, and I felt down. I had more trouble sleeping, or I'd wake startled, or I'd wake confused, or, you know, things mm-hmm. like that. At the same time, I was out of work at that time, and... you know, had gone through some things. So I really thought all of these things were just depression and anxiety. But I, you know, because I could make a case for that. You can always make a case for that.
No, can I just say, as a person who's had plenty of depression and anxiety, it is unfortunate because sometimes you'll just be like, I remember I came back many years ago from Germany. That's important to the story because I'm like, oh, I'm so lethargic. I'm like, oh, I went to visit my mom and I'm depressed about this and that. And it turns out I got adult chicken pox.
Right.
From the flight. It's like the last thing that occurs to you is that you might actually be sick.
Yeah.
And you might not just be.
How did you find out you had that? Did you have dots on your face?
Because I eventually went to the doctor and I had the lumps and he said, you got chicken pox. So I said, I had chicken pox. He said, you got it again.
Wow.
Which I didn't think was possible.
Well, now we know. I didn't know that either.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So when you left LA, you intended to.
I just thought, you know what? I'm not doing well here. I don't feel well. I'm anxious. I'm upset. And I'm just going to get out of here. And I felt very strongly I had to get out of here. So I just got rid of my place. Yeah, and a lot of people were saying, well, I mean, I wasn't even in touch with all my friends and all, but my family and a few friends that I was were saying, well, what's the rush? And I was like, I don't know, but I got to leave now.
So it's like you had an internal clock telling you, I got to shake this up because something's wrong with my heart. I mean, you didn't know anything about your heart then, right?
No, I didn't. And then...
But innately, it seems like your body knew that you needed to get some care.
I did feel kind of alarmed and like, no, I have to get out of here. And I couldn't... It was a hard time because, again, I wasn't feeling great. My life wasn't going great. So I wasn't out all the time and in touch with people. And plus, I didn't know how to totally explain it. And then when I went to Florida, I think it only took 3 weeks before I started passing out.
And getting symptoms that led you to the hospital.
Right.
Or having symptoms. So you're passing out in Florida, and that leads you to say, wait a minute, I need a physical. Or what did you...
No, then I had to go to the ER.
Oh, because you passed out to the point of being unconscious?
Right.
Oh, no.
And then I had to get stitches and things.
Okay, I didn't... But this was not in the story.
No.
Okay, so when you get to Florida, you're doing Sea Turtle Patrol, you're meeting friends, you're right. not... You're,
I'm
you haven't
my
been
one
in,
friend.
You haven't been invited to Vespers yet. I mean, let's not race ahead.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But where were you when you passed out?
Well, one time I was in the bathroom. Well, one time, I think one of the first times I started feeling weird, I said, oh, I don't feel well, I'm going to go lie down. And I got almost to the bed, but then I just passed out. And I think I hit my head on the side table.
Wow, how scary.
And then, yeah, one time in the bathroom. So I'd have to go to the emergency room.
So it wasn't physical exertion. Your heart was just stopping or giving up.
It would just stop. It was like an electrical system.
So
failure.
Florida is a good place to have this problem, right?
It's like the capital of pacemakers, I'm sure.
So the name of the hospital you went to?
I ended up going to Sarasota Memorial Hospital. So it took a long time because of it's very unusual at my age. It's an electrical system issue, but it's just really unusual at my age. And so I had to go see a cardiologist, then they had to monitor it, then they had to order another monitor that would take a month once I got it. And
were you doing things like stress tests at the hospital?
I did have to go to the treadmills? Well, I had to go to the hospital, overnight, and I had to do a stress test, one where they just put you on a slant for about a half an hour.
That's strange.
And the doctor said, well, you'll definitely pass out during this. Because he thought it was something else, I guess. He said, for sure, you'll pass out. And then I just stayed on my slant, talking to the nurse,
Slanting with your head up or your head down?
It's like you're tilted back just a little.
Okay, so it's not that your head's below your feet.
You're barely tilted. So it's very strange that most people will pass out. And
wow, that's so interesting.
I don't even know, but I didn't pass out, and then he was really surprised. Then they also at that time did a test, I think, where they kind of more put you under and go in and stimulate your heart or something.
Then there's a culmination of my months go by. They keep monitoring
months,
you. And then when do they say, we need to put a pacemaker in?
Well, then I was being monitored, I had a month or 2 month monitor on. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And it gets transmitted to the company. I was passing out a lot for a few seconds. But then the woman called me one time. The data is supposed to go to my doctor's office, but apparently they weren't on it. So the woman from the company called me just to see how I was. And I knew it was going to be for me because I knew I had just passed out.
Yeah.
And she said, well, did your doctor call? And I said, well, no.
That's so interesting.
I never
so they
get
have
calls
a,
here,
a
so
monitoring
this is exciting.
System, so they know that you passed out. Somebody knew.
Yeah. And then the thing is, it didn't get sent to my doctor. So then the next morning, it happened again, and she called, and she said, you know, I can't advise you of anything. But if I were you,
wow,
I'd call your doctor.
Yeah.
I felt so bad for her, especially in hindsight, because she's looking at this thing going, this woman might die.
Oh, my gosh, Penelope.
And I'm not allowed to tell her.
She sounds like she could be being played by Halle Berry or Sandra Bullock.
I know.
It's like 911 or something. Like you could see the trailer now. This summer, the phone rings.
She
keeps
calling me.
She passes out. The phone rings.
Yeah, and who will play her? Of course, Halle Berry.
I just said that.
Oh, I'm sorry. You just said that. I missed it. I'm sorry.
Okay, so listen, Penelope, you get a pacemaker put in. Let's fast forward. How do you make a decision to return to L.A.?
I don't know. I just, probably the way I made the other one. I'm just doing it.
You seem like an L.A. person to me.
I am.
You have so much creativity just pouring out of you. How could you be confined to a beach with, trying to protect sea? I think it's admirable to protect sea turtles.
Right.
But I think those people belong doing that.
I like the outdoors.
Yeah.
I love when I'm indoors and the outdoors are on television and I'm watching them. I love pictures of the outdoors, but I don't.
That's my favorite way to enjoy the outdoors.
I know.
It's a clear photo.
I do like being outside, but I have to put on 50 sunblock, and I don't know. I'm not just an outdoor person. So that whole thing of walking the beach, yes, that's nice, but I don't live to do that every day. I need more different kinds of people around, stimulation, art, creative things, just a more.
When you were down there in Florida, did you experience any of the wackiness like Hannes and I were just talking about? Like, and their local news, is it just wacky story after wacky story, or do they not even think they're wacky anymore?
Well, I think a lot of it, you're highlighting the wackiest stuff.
Sure, sure.
But I do also think it's a different political climate. It's certainly a state that has a strange mix of ages and populations.
Mm-hmm.
But One thing I noticed was that a paper that, you know, it was a pretty big paper, it when it would come out on some day of the week, they would list, for instance, women that had been arrested on charges of prostitution, and they'd have their photos in the paper, and these were not women who had been
convicted.
Wow.
And I noticed that there's never a picture of some guy in here that's done this, you know, it really was.
That's shocking.
I know. I thought there were so many backward things.
Did you notice a lot of prescription drug places in Florida? Because they say that's like the key state to go if you want prescription drugs. Like anybody in any strip mall, any kind of doctor will sign over, you know, Ativan or whatever you want. Did you see that?
I wish I had known that before.
The prescription drug
should have saved
trade.
A whole lot of trouble.
I think that was also my boyfriend Scott Pelley on 60
know.
Minutes talking
I don't
about
know.
That.
I have no idea about that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you're back in LA, and are you trying to set goals for yourself, or how do you live after such a brush with death?
Oh, well, now
in terms of your day-to-day thinking.
I know, sometimes I get nervous, but I feel better.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, I feel better, and I think even emotionally I feel better, because my whole system isn't sort of fading, you know? And so I do feel better. And I do love being in L.A., and it's exciting, and I get to be around more friends and people my age. But, yeah, I'm kind of having to start over because it was a long time. There was a time I wasn't doing well before I left, then the whole almost a year of being away. And I'm staying with my aunt right now.
Oh, that's nice.
And she is in her 80s. So I haven't, gone cold turkey.
Listen, yeah, you really have an affinity.
By the way, don't
the
you feel young and vibrant now? Because when you're over 40, it's possible you're like, oh, I'm so old. And you go hang out in Florida for a while. You're like, I am a stud.
Listen, yeah, I play tennis. A lot of my tennis friends are in their 70s and 80s.
Makes
and,
you feel good.
Well, they have so much to say.
I think
elderly people, to me, are really great to be around because they have experience and they're often very funny.
Yeah, they are. And
because they have something to draw upon and they don't give a fuck.
Yeah, that's my favorite part about I'm finally getting old enough to where my I don't give a fuck is starting to make more sense to people.
Yeah.
When you're 25 and you're like, I don't give a fuck, people are like,
flattering.
Well, you're a snotty asshole.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, well, you've been around. No, I never gave a fuck. But
right. Well, we are always happy to have you on Storyworthy, Penelope.
Oh, it's so nice to be here, and I really appreciate it.
Hey, do you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
Yes.
Music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
Okay, the word is plans. I've had so many, it's difficult. But, more recently, actually, this was a couple years ago, before I even got a writing job on TV, and I thought, well, I have to get a job. I'm taking my ego out of this. I'm just going to go work at Starbucks. So I got my resume together, and I said, look, you know, this is hard for me, but I'll be working at Starbucks, and okay. And I went into Starbucks, and I turned over my resume to a girl with braces. And as she took my resume, I thought, oh, I get it. They're not going to hire me. This girl with braces doesn't want me. And fortunately, that plan didn't work out because the better things came.
Isn't that funny? I love that Starbucks story because people do seem to think like, well, if I can't do anything else, I'll just go down and work at Starbucks. Right. It's like, no, you fucking won't, because those people are like, they're coveted jobs. They have benefits.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And also, I wouldn't be good at it.
Yeah, well, you do have to multitask.
You'll get whatever milk I put in there.
Yeah, no, you do have to multitask. Yeah. There's
people
there's
be
the
farting all over the place
cup.
When you're...
yeah, and they never get your name right.
It's
and
very
I would not get the name right.
No, but I just think it's funny that people assume that you could get a job at Starbucks or a job at Trader Joe's.
No, you know
what?
Yeah, Trader Joe's. Costco is like a great place to work. They have great benefits. It's a great company. It's like, you can't just get a job.
I would eat all the samples.
I will say, in Pittsburgh, where I'm from, there are a lot of jobs in those retail stores for the, you know, for help wanted, in Starbucks, help wanted, Barnes and Noble, places like that. But that's back east, not in L.A.
Yeah, no, in L.A.,
you want to be a waitress, you better have a goddamn good-looking headshot, number one.
You have to be really pretty.
You got to be very pretty. You want to be a bartender, you better come in a swimsuit.
And guess what? Forever 21's not going to hire me, right?
Maybe Forever 49 would.
Yeah, right. Forever 60. Give me a few years.
No, but it is a difficult climate to get any job, but especially in LA, you know, those jobs that people would think are no big deal are actually quite a big deal.
Right. And the people that have them, I think, are very good at them and,
sure,
you know, work really hard and all. So, yeah, I
never have a problem with my chai tea latte with soy. That's what I like.
Chai tea latte
with soy is $4.65.
But could everybody do me one favor? When you're at Starbucks, even if you don't want it, could you please ask for almond milk? Because I would like it. And the more people that ask, then you can say, oh, I don't want it. But
you want to plant the buzzword.
You don't even have to say that because they don't have it.
You want them
to
start supplying almond milk.
Yes. And I do think we should all ask.
Okay, so plant the almond milk.
Do they have rice milk? Because that's my new thing. Is like I'm making my cereal with rice milk now.
Yeah, it's better for you. It's lactose free, isn't it? Rice milk and almond milk.
There's no fat, which is my main problem.
And almond milk is good.
Yeah.
And they don't have it, so don't worry. You won't get it. But just ask.
I see. You're just.
But just ask. We're just trying to plant the
and
seed.
And also.
Well, I have a. Go ahead.
No, you can talk about people. Okay. See, I have a name that no one. I know they won't spell it right. I know they won't say it right. So when I go to Starbucks, I'm John.
Yeah, just say John.
Which, of course, ends up being that I hear John called 10 times. I'm like, where is this fucking asshole? And then I remember it's me. But it's like, so all of you, just Bob, John, Jane, just eliminate your actual name and your ego at Starbucks, because it's always
going to be wrong.
There's a girl from Guatemala, and she's trying to read the handwriting of the guy from Venezuela, and it's a Swedish name, and it's never. It's just
the colors of Bennington.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate
Bennington?
To even have
no,
to listen
not
to.
Not Bennington. Benetton.
Benetton.
Bennington is a
Here's
college,
a little gift I'd like to share real quick with our listeners. Yes. If you are in Starbucks or the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf, always ask. Always say it's to go. You know, at the end they say, is this for here to go? You always say to go. Why is that, Hannes?
So it has a cap.
So you don't pay the sales tax.
Yep.
You
really?
Only pay sales tax if you stay in the restaurant.
Say that everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. So always say to go, even though you're going to eat it or drink
really?
It right there.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
And you can
very
say
good.
To go with a plate, and you can put that plate in the back. No, that's not true.
Can you say to go, but I'm going to sit here?
Yeah, man. No,
well,
they
what
know.
Are they
dare you
it.
To charge?
No,
so everybody's
funny.
Onto the scam.
They come out to you and they're like, "We need 48 cents." You're still inside the building.
Always say to go.
Okay. Oh well. Okay. As long as we're doing secret codes, and by the way, I'm going to do that from now on. You know, if you go to a Del Taco, which I know Christine will never do, and
it's
you
so
say,
good. It's so much
"I would
funny.
Like, I would like it, whatever I'm ordering, go bold."
Oh.
Go bold means an extra 49 cents. They put the secret special sauce and French fries in anything that you have ordered.
Wow. And what is the special sauce?
It's a white sauce.
White sauce.
Dirty.
Which goes on the chicken soft taco. It's very good.
How bold is it?
It's not very bold. It's not very spicy. I don't know why it's called.
It's extreme flavor.
You know, that's a great company that really hires from within, and people that start working there move up. And it is run by a woman that I think did start just as a kid working there.
Miss Del Taco?
Yes. And just it's run by a woman. And
I like that.
Yeah,
I like that in
ladies
a taco.
Are smart.
She
right.
was. Yeah. They also used to do improv there. Del Close. Worked,
right.
And it was just called Taco. And then when he came, they called it Del Taco. That's a joke for like 10 people.
Now, I'll say this. The word Taco Cat is the same backwards and forwards.
Yeah.
Taco Cat.
Ladies
Except
and
that's
gentlemen,
not a word.
We got to wrap it up.
A genius joke.
Right about
By the
now.
Way, do you know the Taco Bell? Do you know why it's called Taco Bell?
Why?
Not because of like we're going to ring a bell and you're going
to
come
Run
get tacos.
To the border.
The guy's name was Bell.
Excellent. Oh. Excellent.
Same as like Bob
good
Bell.
Good information. All right, you
this
guys, we're going to wrap it up right about now.
Did you
now.
Know that A&W root beer? Never mind.
Thank you for coming, Penelope.
Thank you.
It's
thank
always
you.
A delight. And I'd like to thank everybody here at Sideshow Network, including Anthony Bench, whose birthday
Yay.
It is. Happy birthday,
Happy
Anthony.
Birthday. Yeah. Happy
and
birthday.
And Sean Merrick. And of course, John Thomas Griffith. You know, he wrote the theme song, Follow Me.
He did. He did. And then he went to an island and looked for a turtle, and he never found it.
No, but he did get a pacemaker put in recently,
it
so it all
to be
comes
quite
around.
A, maybe we're the link. Maybe we cause people to get pacemakers.
And on behalf of our storyteller tonight, Penelope Lombard, and of course, Johannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.